the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 23rd day of June, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. And then K-State's Dan O'Brien will join us to take up the agricultural energy markets. In particular, we'll discuss the relationship of ethanol, gasoline, and oil prices. And the state statisticians will be along today to update us on crop progress in their regions. Hey, and in 26 minutes, speaking of crop progress, we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast and how it will impact those growing crops with Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He'll join us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished like this. The nearby July wheat at $5.46¾ settled up 3/4. September, a $5.75¾ settlement price, up 3/4 as well. December futures were down a penny at $6.01. In Kansas City, the hard red settled the nearby July at $6.04 unchanged. September at $6.14½, up a half. Corn pit in Chicago, nearby July futures, $3.89, 3¾ higher. September, $3.97¼, up 3¾. December, the harvest month at $4.09, up 3½ for the corn. And the March futures at $4.20½, up 3½. May corn, $4.28½, up 3½. July soybean futures today, $11.79, the settlement price, up 27½. The August at $11.14, up 24. September, $10.48, a settlement price up 25 cents. In November futures, $10.04½, up 23½. January contract at $10.12, up 23½. And the March contract in the bean pit at $10.08¼, up 23 cents even. July bean meal at $3.88.50, up $11.50. July bean oil a buck higher at $36.93. June live cattle futures today, $81.85, up 37½ cents. The August at $83.32½, up 47½. The August feeders at $99.70, 77½ cents higher. September contract at $99.77½, up 90 cents. And the July lean hogs today, $60.12½, down 32½ cents. The August 40 lower at $60.45. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures settled today, $1.74 higher at $69.24. Ethanol at $1.68¾, up 0.7 cents. The natural gas at $3.89¼, down 0.4 cents. The RBOB gasoline at $1.89½, up 0.3 cents. July heating oil at $1.76¾. That's diesel up 3¾ cents. And the propane futures were 0.3 cents lower at $81¼. Gold futures, June contract at $923.90, up $3.30. The Dow currently trading at 83.35 is down just about 4 points. And the U.S. dollar at 79.84 is down 0.93 on the day. The CRB index at 249.80 is up 3.73 on the afternoon.
General Manager Mark Leonard.
As we work to raise the remaining dollars that will pay for the programs that serve the needs of our communities, I hope you will be as generous as you can. State and federal budgets are not set. Who knows what support they will provide? The power really is in your hands.
Today, we are $184,000 away from our June 30th goal. That's $9,000 closer than yesterday. You can help us get there with your pledge at 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org.
Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like this afternoon. Generally sunny, hot, and humid. A few isolated thunderstorms are possible. Highs today will range from 85 near Lake Michigan to near 100 in the southwestern parts of Illinois. Tomorrow should be sunny, hot, and humid. Highs will range from 90 in eastern Indiana to 98 in southwestern Illinois. And tonight should be fair and muggy. Lows from 66 in northeastern Indiana to 77 in the southwestern parts of the state of Illinois.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Tuesday afternoon. On the line with us from the great state of Indiana is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. Out of New Market, good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
I bet it's just as hot and muggy there it is as it is here, but it makes for pretty good growing conditions as long as you've got a crop in the ground and it's up and running.
You know, beautiful day to catch up on some degree units if you're in some areas, but not a very pleasant afternoon to be doing much work outside, that's for sure. It is miserable, but good corn growing weather, as you said, and you know, the last few days, that's what Chicago seemed to be paying attention to, is the catch-up time, I think, that we have for good corn-growing weather. And, you know, the question we have to ask ourselves is did all our acres get planted that were anticipated? And as we looked at the report yesterday, seeing that there are still a lot of acres of beans that need to be planted yet, so some of this extra moisture isn't helping make beans. It's maybe helping make some corn, but not beans.
Yeah, the bean acreage in the state of Illinois was still trailing some 3 weeks behind, I think. In this state, Indiana was behind. There are a lot of beans left to put in the ground. And beans reacted to that, I think, a bit today, up on, 27.5 cents in the old crop, and the new crop up 23.5.
You know, there was a couple things that happened. Number one, I think they reacted to that report, but not nearly. They got stronger as the day went on. What happened that helped pump us on up to later in the day, of course, is you were quoting the crude oil prices, $1.73 higher on crude. The dollar down 96 cents here now on that. So those are two overriding factors that helped give us that extra dime on the beans compared to what just the information did that we got last night on their delays on planting the beans. But, you know, and we've seen a real, real pounce on down on these crops since a week ago Friday when this downslide started. So, you know, Todd, we were due for a little bit of a turnaround Tuesday, a little bit of a bounce, but we keep hearing more and more concern of the world economy. And, you know, talking about how some of the world stock markets reacted overnight, and we've heard the words inflation used a lot, but we're starting to hear deflation being used some in some of the commentaries we read on the screen.
It is a struggle, and the marketplace will be trying to work all of that out. At this point, it appears that they're still unsure exactly where to price these crops, given what's in the field, what they think demand for it will be domestically and for it in the foreign markets might be. Are you concerned still that there's much in the way of downside potential in the marketplace?
Well, I think that we're going to find out a lot about that a week from today, Todd, number one, on what the acres that we did get planted is out there. You know, if we did get all of the corn acres we anticipated planted, you know, there could be some downward movement to not near as much as the possibility in the beans if we did get a couple of million acres extra of beans planted out there and the growing conditions do get moving along all right. But the downside potential is much more for the beans than the corn at this point in time.
Do you have any sets of advice that you'd like to pass on producers for corn, beans, or the soft red winter wheat that they're probably harvesting or about to harvest?
Well, I think, you know, the wheat, get out there and get it as fast as you can. I think just for the simple fact that all these rains have helped kill the test weight and could cause some disease problems if you don't get out of the field in a hurry. Number two, you know, I think that if we do see some decent rallies here, if you haven't priced anything, well, we're going to be pricers of some beans, you know, up in that 10-20 bracket, possibly just a few more there, and the Deese corn on that 420 bracket, 425 bracket way. We're not opposed if you've been lagging behind on doing some fall sales.
I suppose producers are asking themselves, and maybe I'll make this your final question, why it is that the bullish enthusiasm in the corn market, looking still at a 1.1 billion bushel carryover, at least at this point, has begun to dissipate?
why some of the bullish has. I think probably the excellent catch-up type weather that we've seen and how we've seen the crop that is in the ground somewhat improved. Now, there's a lot of areas, and believe me, Todd, you know, as we drove around quite a bit over the last 2 weeks, every place doesn't look as good as out. Our back window here, I can tell you that by a long shot, and some of the worst-looking corn I've ever seen over between Champaign and Decatur for this time of year, and the drowned-out spots are big. So, you know, it's just, it's not that we're so negative. It's just maybe along the way that when it has a four in front of it, why it's awful hard to continue to stay bullish when the weather's good.
All right. Thank you much.
Thank you.
That's Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report each and every Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress and weather reports. The 2009 corn crop, it says, continued to develop at a slower than normal pace in many locations across the Corn Belt because of delayed spring planting. In Iowa, the largest corn-producing state, emergence was nearly complete, but the average height of this year's crop was shorter than normal. Overall, 70% of the crop nationwide was rated in good to excellent condition. That's unchanged from a week ago, but still 11 points better than a year ago. Soybean producers had planted 91% of this year's crop as of June the 21st, 1 point ahead of last year. Still, that's 4 points behind the five-year average. Planting is complete or nearly complete across the Great Plains and most of the Delta and Corn Belt. However, with just 79% of the intended acreage in the ground, planting in Illinois, that's the second largest soybean-producing state, remains over 3 weeks behind normal. Emergence did reach 84% nationwide by the week's end, 4 points ahead of 2008, but 6 points behind the average. Overall, 67% of the soybean crop was rated in good to excellent condition, a slight improvement from a week ago and 10 points better than last year. On the winter wheat nationwide, 95% of the 2009 winter wheat crop was at or beyond the heading stage. That compares with 93% a year ago and 97% on the rolling five-year average, and was complete or nearly complete in all states except Idaho, Montana, and South Dakota. 45% of the crop was reported in good to excellent condition, up 1 point from last week, but down 1 point from 2008. Now, here are the statisticians with updates from their states.
This is Greg Tayson, director of the USDA's National Ag Statistics Service Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending June 21, 2009. This past week, producers that had wanted warmer temperatures got what they had been asking for. As the official start of summer drew closer, temperatures increased and most of Iowa experienced daytime highs above 90 degrees. While farmers welcome the heat, many producers still need a break in the rains, which continue to slow hay harvest and weed control efforts. The heat, though beneficial, came with a price, as severe thunderstorms brought crop-damaging winds and hail to some fields, and flooding concerns continued in the southeast district of Iowa. Even with the isolated crop damage from the severe weather, the growth of the state's corn and soybean crops progressed nicely as corn continues to green up and is starting to canopy open ground. Nearly all of Iowa's corn acres have emerged, with stands rated at 95% of normal. The tallest height of corn plants averaged 33 inches across the state, and the average height of corn fields was 23 inches. Corn condition was rated 81% good to excellent, compared with 78% last week and 50% at this time last year. Soybean planting advanced 1 percentage point from last week to 98% complete, 1 week ahead of last year, but 2 days behind the five-year average. Southern districts made little planting progress during the week and continue to lag behind the average pace. 94% of the state's soybean crop has emerged, 11 days ahead of last year, but 1 week behind the five-year average. Soybean condition was rated 78% good to excellent, 3 percentage points above last week and 28 points above last year. This is Greg Tayson reporting from USDA NASS, Iowa Field Office.
This is Brad Schwab reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending June 21st. Widespread precipitation was prevalent across Illinois once again this past week. Producers welcomed above-average temperatures in hopes of drying saturated fields, but severe weather systems towards the end of the week caused increased standing water. Denitrification is now becoming a concern, and producers continue to look for an opportunity to complete planting. The week ended with only 2.3 days being reported suitable for field work. Recent above-normal temperatures along with warm, humid nights have provided excellent growing conditions for this year's delayed corn crop. Corn emergence ended the week at 98%, compared with 99% 1 year ago and 100% for the 5-year average. The average height of all corn emerged was 17 inches, 4 inches shorter than last year and 21 inches short of the 38-inch 5-year average. Leading the state in corn height were the central and southeast crop reporting districts at 24 inches. Overall, the corn crop was rated in fair to mostly good condition. Soybean planting advanced to 79% complete. This compares to 88% 1 year ago and 96% for the 5-year average. 67% of the crop was reported emerged, trailing last year's 73% and the 91% 5-year average. Leading the state in soybean emergence was the Northwestern Crop Reporting District at 91%. Statewide, the soybean crop was rated in fair to good condition. The soft red winter wheat crop was reported 82% turning yellow, compared with 83% 1 year ago and 93% for the 5-year average. 42% of the crop was reported ripe, compared to 28% 1 year ago and 68% normally. 6% of the wheat was reported harvested, compared with 3% 1 year ago and 38% for the 5-year average. This has been Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Becky Summer of the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service Nebraska Field Office with the Crop Weather Report for the week ending June 21, 2009. Warmer weather and rain helped advance crop growth. Temperatures averaged 3 degrees below normal in the Panhandle, North Central, and Southwestern districts, while the remainder of the state was at or slightly above normal. Precipitation was widespread, with most areas receiving over an inch of precipitation. Corn conditions rated 83% good or excellent, with dryland corn rating slightly higher than irrigated. Soybeans conditions rated mostly good or excellent. Over 3/4 of the oats have headed. Wheat conditions are mostly good or excellent and remain well above last year. Virtually all the wheat has headed and is starting to turn color. Harvest in the southeast is likely to begin next week and by mid-July in the Panhandle. Alfalfa first cutting is 3/4 complete and conditions rated mostly good or excellent. Pasture and range conditions were mostly good or excellent and above year-ago levels. This is Becky Summer of the USDA's NASS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Gene Danicus with Missouri's Crop Progress Report for the week ending June 21st. Another wet week of weather has further delayed this year's planting and has affected the crop conditions in some areas. The corn crop has virtually all emerged on par with normal, while the crop is beginning to silk, mostly in the boot heel area. Corn condition is rated at nearly 50% good or better statewide, while the excess moisture has reduced the good to excellent ratings in the northwest and east central districts. Soybean planting has reached 75% complete, a full 2 weeks behind normal. Double crop planting is following closely after wheat is being harvested. Soybean crop condition is rated at 50% good or better. Nearly all the wheat crop has turned color and is rapidly moving toward full maturity. Harvest is nearly 25% complete, mostly in the boot heel region, where 60% is harvested, but many producers need additional warm, dry weather to continue. Drier weather conditions in the southeast district allowed nearly 50% of the region's wheat crop to be harvested in 1 week's time. The crop is rated at 45% good or better, as scattered areas are reporting some disease problems. This is Gene Denikis with USDA's Missouri Ag Statistics Service.
Our thanks go to the statisticians in Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, and Missouri today for their participation in our weekly look at what's been happening in crop progress across the Midwest. We bring that to you each and every Tuesday during the growing season. You are listening, of course, to Illinois Public Media and the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon and time to check the agricultural energy markets. Once a month, we talk to Dan O'Brien at Kansas State University Extension Ag Economist. He joins us to take up those markets and is located at the Northwestern Research Center in Colby, Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Dan. We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Yes, thank you, Todd.
You know, you have a brand new paper out. It's called The Relationship of Ethanol, Gasoline, and Oil Prices. I'd like to take it up. Let me read from it to begin with. This is in the first paragraph, just one sentence there. Given the relative strength of corn prices during this period, which is the first 6 months of the year, low ethanol prices have severely limited, if not in many cases, eliminated the profitability of operating ethanol plants in Iowa, Kansas, and other locations in the Midwestern United States. Is that particular sentence fact for you, or is that theory?
That's certainly fact. As we look at what's been happening in that industry, and just if nothing else, to read the news reports about some plants under financial foreclosure or reorganization, we have all sorts of challenges in that industry, and it really has become, I think, more of a fight for survival. And if a plant does happen to have a high debt load that it's trying to service, or if it's in an, or if it happens to have an inefficient operating, physical structure or something, then in a competitive time like this, it's really at a disadvantage. So that's more than just the theoretical musings of an economist. That's the challenging reality that the business people in that industry are facing.
I suppose then that you're thinking then one of the reasons you helped pen this article was that the relationship between ethanol and gasoline prices needs to help guide the ethanol plant in its purchases. Is there really a relationship between the price of gasoline and the price of ethanol?
Well, yes, and it's quite the tangled web, really, when you look at all the things that are coming into play that influence the price of ethanol. Of course, ethanol is closely tied with gasoline, and gasoline follows from the world and U.S. oil market, and there are pretty close correlations between the price of, and just in the Midwest, which would include the region that both Iowa and Iowa, Kansas, and Illinois are in, there's like a 93% positive correlation between the price of oil that's reported on a spot basis here in the United States and the average gasoline price in our area. And then taking that a step further, when you look at the price of ethanol in Iowa, again, your neighbor there, you have an 83% positive correlation. So really it's no, I guess, mystery to people that are involved in that industry and to farmers as they watch it that a lot of what's come into play that I guess some of the main factors affecting the price of ethanol and the profitability of those plants have a lot to do with what's going on in the petroleum and gasoline markets.
Well, when you put the numbers down on the paper, I see that you managed to build some regressions on it, and that you say that the average price for ethanol and gasoline for late January 2006 through 2009 period, there was a 10% increase in Midwest gasoline prices. That would bring a 6.59% increase in the price of ethanol in Iowa. Is that correct?
Right. Again, we're trying to quantify that relationship. So it's sort of just depends which way you go. If gasoline prices increase 10%, it tended to be associated with about a 6.6% increase in ethanol prices. That conversely, as a 10% decrease in gasoline prices from those middle or mean values of gasoline and ethanol would have brought a 6.6% decrease as well. So there's definitely a strong relationship between the two price series.
Well, Dan, thanks much.
Yes, thank you, Todd.
Dan O'Brien is with K-State. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
It's National Cherry Tart Day. Sweet cherries date back to prehistoric times in Asia. By the way, that story about George Washington and the cherry tree is more fiction than fact. Parson Weems attributed the anecdote to an aged lady who was a distant relative and, when a girl, spent much of her time who referred to George as cousin. Really, we cannot tell a lie. It's also International Picnic Day. In Europe during the 14th century, the earliest picnics were medieval hunting feasts in England, featuring hams and other baked meats as well as pastries. Picnicking really came into its own during the Victorian age. Picnics, as Americans know them, date back to the middle of the 19th century. On this day in agricultural history in 1865, Edmund Ruffin died. He was a pioneer in the study of soil chemistry in the U.S. Ruffin investigated the possibility of using lime to raise pH in peat soils to improve agricultural productivity. In 1892, macadamia nuts were first planted in Hawaii. In 1981, the first genetically engineered vaccine was announced by USDA. The vaccine, using gene splicing, was designed to prevent hoof and mouth disease. And in 1993, African honeybees killed a small dog in Tucson, Arizona, and were dubbed by the media as killer bees. Their original source was from crossbreeding with tropical African bees imported into Brazil for experimental work. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027. Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. Time to check the Tuesday agricultural weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather. He's out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the weather forecast for the Midwest.
Well, I've got some good news. It does look, first of all, a little bit warmer. We're going to be able to get some growing degree days, heat units accumulated, and yes, while there's thunderstorms in the forecast, I think that there'll be some areas that won't be looking at as much rainfall. There's one area in particular that could get quite wet. That's portions of Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota, perhaps the eastern portions of Kansas and Nebraska. Many areas of the Midwest and the Corn Belt, though, are going to be somewhat drier and warmer.
And then if you take a little further look out, what do you see?
Well, I think we're probably going to see this continuing into the 4th of July week. The temperatures are going to be averaging warmer, and while I still see the occasional thunderstorm, I think the wetter weather will stay further out west.
That would be something I think we might expect in the month of June. How odd has it been for this much rainfall to come into the Midwest during this time frame?
Well, it's not terribly unusual to start off June wet, but to have it be so continuously wet through most of the month, and also to have it cool. Not only have we had above normal rainfall in many areas, but below normal temperatures.
We're catching up right now in those growing degree days. It is hot, hot, hot out there today.
Yeah, and we are going to be able to do that. So hopefully, playing this catch-up here is going to pay off down the long run, because I do think we do have an extended period of warmer weather coming.
Nighttime lows will continue to stay really warm?
They really will. So we'll be able to get heat units, and growing degree days accumulated both day and night.
And tell me about the hard red winter wheat harvest. Can they progress quickly?
Well, I don't know about quickly. There's going to be the occasional heavy thunderstorm that could cause some muddy fields at some times in some of those areas. So I think there's going to be steady progress made, but there may be some delays in harvest due to muddy fields.
Any place else you're looking at around the globe that we ought to discuss?
Well, let's go over to China, where they're still looking at a forecast that's pretty wet. While we're drying out here in the Corn Belt Midwest, maybe the key ag areas of China will still be wet.
Yeah, and your assessment of how their growing season has started so far?
Off to a slow start. The stormy weather has slowed things down, and like the U.S., June, for at least the first half of the month, was cooler than normal.
Anything else we ought to discuss before I let you go?
Enjoy the warmer temperatures. Just hope it doesn't get too hot.
All right. Thank you much.
Thank you.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Tuesday afternoon. You can hear him again if you'd like on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Not only can you hear Don there, but the other weather forecasts that we have, including an all brand new weather podcast. Just sign up at willag.org. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.